We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can ferret out more information on those photos, risky as they are. I don't know that, you know, you don't know. You don't know anything about it until it actually comes to pass, you know. So I'm not going to have further comment on it until I see the photos, and let's just leave it at that, period. End of story. If I do get photos or somebody emails them to me, then I'll have a chance to talk further about it. But unless somebody can find them, I don't know that this is even true. Unless somebody can find them and email me the photos, I'm not going to comment on it anymore. It's mmax@intercom.com. If we want to continue to work on this project together, joining us now is Ryan Hoag. And you know, it's always appropriate to have guys on that played for both teams. Washington, Minnesota, we have him on after the Giants. He played for a lot of teams and played at the highest level of the NFL for a long time, and he joins us now. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Mike, always a pleasure.
What was your time in Washington like?
You know, fantastic. I have nothing but good things to say. I had the opportunity to play under Joe Gibbs, and he's a guy that, you know, preached what he meant, and then it was faith, family, then football, and it permeated to all the coaches and then subsequently all the players. It was really a good time and jarring difference from my time with Bill Callahan, who's now the coach there.
He's now the coach, the guy that you played for in Oakland.
Yeah. And I can promise you it's not faith, family, and football for him.
What is he? Is he the old school hard-nosed football's lifeline?
Oh, yeah. He's nobody's my friend here. Let's be the most penalized and hated team in the NFL. We care about one thing and one thing only. Let's ridicule you if you make a mistake, that kind of thing.
Kind of a fear-based way of doing it?
Yep. Very military-esque and, just old school.
So when he went to Nebraska, you were not surprised it didn't work either, huh?
Oh, I almost wrote an op-ed article to tell people if you're a recruit considering them, don't go because your time will be miserable. And he's really, I don't think he's very well liked there, not only because of how he did, but just, you know, the relationships he failed to cultivate.
It's hard for me to believe, and I know it was before it's hard for me to believe he and Gruden would have coexisted well.
Yeah.
Because they're both a little bit like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Some things you just, I don't know how they work, but they do.
Yeah, then here we go. Did you, when you were living in Washington, you're a great student athlete, student before athlete, all those things, attending Gustavus and all that. Did you take in Washington, the city, much? Because it is a fascinating place to walk through.
Well, I was staying, so I played two different times. I got signed mid-season and then was in training camp the following season. They actually sent me to NFL Europe as well. So I had a couple different stints with them. But, you know, I was in Lansdowne, Maryland when I was living there. So I wasn't, you know, in D.C.
Yeah, you're never really there except for game day maybe, huh?
Right. And even then, I mean, yeah, that's kind of out in the way. But D.C. is a fantastic city, and I have friends that live there. One of my good friends went to Georgetown and played on the tennis team there, and I got to practice with their tennis team there. So, yeah, I have great things to say about D.C. as a city. Fantastic.
By the way, this is an aside, but Steve Paulson is retiring as the girls' coach at Edina after their long and storied run. This is the last week of that season. They won this morning. They beat Wayzata 7-0. I'm sure in the circles you run in, you've gotten to know Steve quite well. Give us a thought or two about his career.
Well, Steve Paulson, an avid Mike Max listener, let me tell you. So he may be tuning in right now.
I hope so.
Steve is, to be able to, you know, he was my boss at Interlochen Country Club.
Sure.
I had the opportunity to work under him for 4 years. He, along with Steve Wilkinson, I mean, we're talking maybe two of the all-time greats in the continental U.S. I mean,
Steve Wilkinson, the late coach at Gustavus that transformed a lot of people.
Right. Steve is just the nicest human being. He's a person I'm lucky to, you know, have worked for, consider a mentor, consider a friend now to this day. And he does things the right way. He's super genuine, just a good dude. And the tennis world's going to dearly, dearly miss him. I'm super bummed. I will say that we got to play them in the section quarterfinal. And so it was the first time I've ever coached against Steve. And so what an opportunity to be able to play him in his final season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's his secret sauce? I always try to figure it out because he's so mild-mannered.
What's his secret? Well, number one, he's just smarter than you. I mean, he knows the game of tennis better than any of his, you know, coaching compadres. And then ultimately, you know, he's cultivated a system. And those kids, you know, from about the age of six, they want to be Edina Hornets and play on the tennis team. And it's because of the culture he's built. It's a positive culture that everybody cheers for one another. You know, he never has, you know, very rarely would a kid ever even think about, like, having any discipline issues or talking back. I mean, he's really cultivated this program to just be top-notch in every sense of the word. And it's frustrating because you want to cheer against a team that wins all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're one of those programs where it's just like, man, they do so many things right. It's hard to cheer against them when
yeah. you see the coach. And you meet him and there's no way you can dislike him, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, back to football, the game in hand, the Washington Redskins on a short week. Explain in your mind Adrian Peterson and why he's still productive at age 34 plus.
Well, I mean, Adrian Peterson is a freak of nature. I had a therapist that used to work on me and Randy Moss, and then he ended up working on Peterson. And he said just even
– Now, this is a physical therapist, not a mental therapist, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You said therapist. I want to make sure we, you know, this was this is a guy that helps you stretch and things like that.
Rolfing is a technique where they dig into your muscle fascia and reset your muscles and things like that. It's unbelievable. But he would compare Adrian Peterson to Randy Moss, and he said, you know, just in terms of from a body standpoint, Adrian Peterson's body was just so much more complex and amazing. And obviously Randy Moss is, we had long muscles and different things, and I'm not going to take anything away from Randy, but you know he's one of those Bo Jackson type specimens that are Herschel Walker type specimens.
Yeah, just a rock. Just,
you know, I bet 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you look at him, you'll be like, I bet you could give me a quarter in the NFL and you would still be pretty good. You know, and I didn't have the opportunity to play with Adrian, unfortunately, but, you know, I certainly know greatness when I see it. And, you know, he's just a different breed. And, you know, for the position that lasts so short in the NFL, he was a guy that continues to do it at a high level. And I expect him to have a solid game against the Vikings on Thursday.
Yeah, he is committed to it, man. He means it when he says he's going to play so long. And of course, you know, he had a lot of stories this offseason about losing all his money. And he's not the first one or the last one that happens to, where you say, how could they lose all that money? Because there was so much to lose. Take me back. You lived amongst the players, and you saw some of those guys, the big bonus babies and everything else. What is the most difficult part for them about managing their money? Is it they come across so much so soon? Is it that the family wants so much? What is it?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a loaded question as well. So there's a lot of things that go into it. Number one, two-thirds of NFL players leave the NFL broke. And, you know, that's a jarring statistic, right? But then you realize that the lifespan's 2.5 years of an NFL player, number one, right? So there's no longevity. Number two, you're only getting paid for 17 out of 52 weeks, right? So those other 35 weeks, you're sitting there and no money's coming in. You might get $100 a week or a day workout check occasionally, but really there's no money coming in for 35 of your weeks. So you have this income coming in of, you know, a 5-6 figure check in those weeks. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. I can spend this. I can pay this. I can buy this car in cash. I can, you know, put this down payment on this house and basically pay for it all. I mean, and then those 35 weeks, you're sitting there, and by, you know, 20 or 25 or 30, you're like, I don't have any money coming in, and now I'm not able to make that payment in cash anymore. So that's number one. Number two, you know, there's so much that's involved from a mental standpoint that when the NFL throws the resources to you to come talk to you, it's during training camp. And for guys like me that, like, we're just trying to hang on, and we have 400 new plays to install in that first week, and we're trying to understand this idea of conceptual football, or this idea, you know, these new installs, or these new defenses we're going to have to look, or, you know, the install is in one day is more than my entire college career in 4 years at Gustavus.
So, and you better get the install right, or there ain't going to be any paycheck to worry about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the last thing you want to do is really pay attention on hour 15 of a person coming in being like, don't be dumb with your money. You're like, don't be dumb with my money. First of all, I got to get back to my playbook. Like, I don't care what you're saying, because I'm not even hearing you right now. Plus, you know, the vets that are oftentimes the loud and boisterous ones in those meetings are the ones that have money for their grandkids someday, right? So
yep.
They don't even care, and they're, you know, making a mockery of it. You know, and then you hear a stat, Mike, 28%, at least back when I played, 28% of NFL players take advantage of the NFL's 401k. And the NFL pays $2 to every dollar you put in.
Hmm.
That is unheard
of. Think about that. If you made $1 million and you said, I'm going to make it look like I made $500,000, the other $500,000 I'll put in the 401k, think what that would be worth.
Yeah, and they put $2 to every one of your dollars. I mean, obviously it's capped at a certain point, but only one out of every four guys does it. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota Vikings were 32nd out of 32 teams.
Really?
In terms of how many people did it back. And now, again, this is back when I played, so years ago. But still, that's not that long ago, right? I mean, within the last 15 years. And, like, that's pathetic. And it's just free money that people are hemorrhaging. And just because they don't, you know, they don't think every – I mean, NFL is not for long, right? That's the acronym.
Yep.
And so you're thinking day to day to day. Every day is a job interview. You don't think about this long-term financial avenue that you need to set yourself up for. And so you're just being like, look, I'm just trying to maintain. I don't want to worry about this and this. I just need to worry about my plays and make sure I don't have any mental errors. Because if you're playing for a coach like Coach Callahan, he would put how many mental errors each person had, and then he would slow motion every single day in practice and go and rewind and just call you every name in the book, like, Hogue, you're a clown. You're an effing clown. Look, this is unbelievable. I can't. You're a wasted draft pick. If you make one mistake.
Really? Wow. Yeah. We don't see that side of it, you know?
No. So you can see why I would be worried about, like, getting, you know, just mocked and ridiculed by the coaches.
I'll take my chances on the 401k talk later, right? I got to figure out how not to get yelled at and humiliated again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this BZ Johnson played a lot the other day.
Yep.
First of all, has anybody told you that you guys could be brothers? Have you heard that yet?
Yeah, my childhood best friend sent me a picture and said, wait, I didn't know you were sitting up again. And a couple people have said that.
I interviewed him the other day. When I see him, I almost call him Ryan. And then he's a wide receiver, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, late round draft pick.
Late pick. Yep. Well spoken. A lot of Ryan Hogue in him. So yeah, take a look. But he gets in the game the other day, and obviously Thielen gets hurt. What's that like for a wide receiver, a rookie wide receiver, when all of a sudden, you, to your point a little bit, you better know every route. You better understand Kirk Cousins. Obviously, it happened late enough in the season that he's had a chance to study that playbook you were talking about. But what's that like when you're in there play after play and you're going, uh-oh? I don't know if you're going, uh-oh, or if you're going, all right, my time to shine.
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. And, you know, you hear the cliche often by your coaches, you're one play away from being in. But you realize, like, you know, Thielen and Diggs are the guys. Like, they're going to play, and they're going to play every down, and, you know, and until one of them, you know, pulls their hamstring. And then now you're up, and you're just like, you don't have time to really process it. And you kind of go in there, and then after that first pass that gets thrown to you and that first hit, then you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to probably be doing this for a while now. And you start getting excited. And I love that Johnson just stepped in and he really embraced it. And, you know, and you could see that Cousins had confidence in him right away. And I will say that I feel like he had more confidence in him that at that moment than he has at any point in Treadwell or any receiver or any quarterback really in Treadwell. And that's why Johnson gets the opportunity before Treadwell, just because he really embraced that moment and just, you know.
In all his practices that we don't see where he's catching every ball, right?
Right. And he's playing the offense's number one on the scout team, right?
Yep.
I used to take pride in, you know, the practice squad receivers, you know, when we played the Eagles back in 04, who was going to be Terrell Owens? And I would be like, I would want it because I wanted every pass to come to me against the number one defense because that's how I got better.
You know, we did a thing with Todd Bauman last week, one of your former teammates, for the story with him on TV. And he was telling the story about when Culpepper, I think it was, got hurt and he got thrown into the – he ended up being player of the week. They went and played Tennessee. And I don't know if it was that game. I think it was that game. He prepared to start anyway. So he goes to Moss and he says, hey, man, let's face it, I'm new to this. I'm going to be looking at you a lot. Moss says, no problem. I got your back. He says, so after probably the first 10 passes, he said, I'd probably thrown 8 to Moss. And I come off on the sideline. Moss comes up to me and says, you got to throw me the ball more. he said, I throw him 8 out of 10. But in his mind, he hadn't gotten enough balls yet. Is that the mindset of a great receiver?
You know, yes. I mean, to be honest, and the mindset of Boss, since I got the opportunity to play him, you know, it didn't matter, you know, if there were 3 guys on him.
I'm open, right?
You know, if you gave him an opportunity, but the thing was, he was the guy. Every single day in practice, he would do something where people would be like, I'll never see anybody do that again.
Yep.
Like, he was open every single play. And if there were guys around him, all you had to do is throw it up because he's 6'5 and has a 44-inch vertical.
And great timing.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was open. And, Todd Bauman's a great guy. I got to play with him in the Jacksonville. We caught a 53-yard pass from him in preseason, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And just a good dude.
Yeah, for sure. So any reason to be concerned Thursday night?
Washington has a very, very underrated defense. And, you know, and Vikings obviously coming off a short week with some injuries. I think it'll probably be a low scoring, like a 13-6 game at halftime or 13-3, 10-3 kind of game. And anytime you allow a team to, you know, stay in, all it takes is that one big play. Case Keenum will, you know, want to come back and do something special at U.S. Bank Stadium. You never know. I mean, certainly when you look at the talent, there's certainly a disparity. But Vikings O-line has played well. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski has stepped up, too, and gotten Kirk Cousins out of the pocket, right? We talked about his
–
Kirk doesn't move well in the pocket, but if you design plays to get him out of the pocket – he can really, really be successful. And, you know, and they're taking Delvin Cook out of pass blocking responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting Madison in. So that's something we talked about a couple weeks ago. So they've cleaned up and did some self-scouting. And, you know, so I predict, you know, something like a 24-10 win. It's going to be low scoring. It'll be the under. And but I think the Vikings will have enough. But it'll give us some anxious moments, no doubt, because they're a ground and pound team, and they want it to be an ugly game.
Good stuff as always, Ryan. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Mike, my pleasure.
Ryan Hoke, that's good stuff, candid stuff. You can talk about a lot of different topics with him. That's what makes it fun. Plenty more to come. Plenty more to come on Sports Max. Pete Najarian, we hope to catch up to if he's got good cell service. Talk some Gopher football. Kevin Lynch, talk about the Timberwolves season opening tomorrow. What is the key to the Timberwolves? I'll tell you next.
Sports to the Max.
Timberwolves tomorrow night right here at WCCO against the Brooklyn Nets. The start of a new season, a new campaign, a new look, a new culture. They will push the ball up the floor, try to get off shots immediately. Try to change the tempo of what we've seen around. I think that's going to be really difficult to do. Basically what you're doing is you're saying this is how we're going to do it independent of what players we have right now to execute it. And I don't think Andrew Wiggins is a pure enough shooter that you can just ask him to be a spot-up 3 guy. Towns is coming in that direction, a big guy that can go inside and out. Okogie's okay. He's going to have to improve his game. Same with Covington. But to me, the whole key to this thing is how engaged Jeff Teague is with the process. He is clearly their best point guard, and he's a talented point guard. He's got game. He's a tough guy. He's not afraid. Big situations don't bother him, all those things. You just don't know what you're going to get from him because you don't know if he'll be engaged in the process. You don't know if he cares enough about what it is they're trying to get done. You don't know if he'll play for the head coach. You don't know all those things. Last year when he got injured after Thibodeau got fired and his buddy Jimmy Butler was traded, he didn't show up a lot of games because of injury, I guess. But he can give you, 30 good minutes, 35 good minutes every night. And he can do some things with the basketball that others can't. He's a good point guard, can defend a little bit. And I just, unless he's buying in, that could be tough. And to play at this pace, here's the other part. Gerson Rosas, this is his team. I don't think Ryan Saunders is making hardly any decisions except game time decisions, who goes in and who goes out. But clearly, he hired the assistant coaches, Gerson did. He went out and signed the free agents that he wanted for his second five. All that stuff, and then handed it to Ryan and said, let's go do it, but let's do it this way. Push the ball, three-point shooters, all this stuff. That's what we're going to do. So I think that's an interesting relationship and perhaps could get complex as well if they don't win. Those are the things that you need to know today. October, 23rd, whatever it is. Because in a couple of months, I want you to mark this down, then come back, and then you can call in and say, Maxie, you were right again. I don't know how you knew all that stuff about them before the season, but you did. And that's why we listened to 830-WCCO. I'm just telling you, about Christmas time, we're going to get those calls again. And I'm just going to say, when I say it, write it down, commit it to memory, and don't be afraid to use it when you're sitting around the coffee table tomorrow with the guys in the break room, because you're going to look really smart one day. And that's what I want for you. I want you to look really, really smart in front of your buddies, and I want you to be able to one-up them anytime that you can. We're going to try to get hold of Pete Najarian. His cell phone coverage may be a bit spotty. To talk some Golden Gophers, some Big Ten football, and some financials. How's your 401k performing? We'll ask Pete where it should be next.
Sports to the max.
Welcome back. Sports to the max. News Talk 830. WCCO. That's the way we roll on the big show. Welcome back to the show. The Timberwolves tomorrow right here, and then they'll play on Friday again right here, and then Sunday they come home and play against Jimmy Butler in Miami. That should be kind of fun. Last year, you might recall, Butler came back once with the Philadelphia 76ers, and it was what happened was the night before, the Timberwolves beat the Golden State Warriors in just an unbelievable, classic, epic game. So when they played the next night against Jimmy Butler, there was kind of this wonderful hangover from playing against the Golden State Warriors and winning. Everybody was so happy about that I'm not saying they didn't focus on Jimmy, but he certainly took a little sheen off of what would have been a boo fest because everybody was just so darn pleased with what had happened. Now, last night on this program, we were doing live outdoors, and I've never heard this before. Ron Scherer went to South Dakota to go pheasant hunting, which is admirable. It's a good thing to do this time of year. He opened his car door and basically ran to the lodge and never left the inside of it again because it was so too windy for him, he said. Too much moisture in the air and rain and wind. And so he refused to hunt in that and stayed inside the lodge. I never thought I'd see that day where Ron Scherer was now raising the shotgun when he's in South Dakota. Let me just say that. And he said the wind and the rain was just too much. And so I was talking about Dave Lee this morning on the radio. And that got our curiosity piqued as to whether or not Ron had to stay inside again tonight and just watch some. I was even going to email him some of my best radio segments that he could just listen to those and pass the time. And he didn't get back to me on that because I thought, well, he's just sitting there. He's probably got, what else is there to do So I was going to email him some of my best segments, just, you know, where I'm kind of funny, quick-witted, those kinds of things. And then Ron could use those and just listen to those for a while, kind of give him some tips, too, along the way, because it would show him more things that he could work on in his radio persona and things like that. But he declined the offer, at least as of now. But I wanted to find out, a great outdoorsman like that, I'm sure that he would never be in a lodge two straight days when there's pheasants out there to be hunted. And so we go now to Clark, South Dakota, and catch up with Ron Sherritt to get both a weather report and let's face it, a manhood report. Ron, what has transpired since we last talked to you?
Done. Are you done, Maxie?
I wanted to paint the right picture.
What kind of a picture was that? You're supposed to be on my side. I mean,
I'm helping you. You know, I can appreciate that. I mean, it was cold out there last night.
Well, for you, for a man like me, no, we had a great day out here. You know, it was we're in Clark, South Dakota, and the wind was relentless. There's no doubt about that. It's coming your way, but. The sun was shining, and we had a bunch of folks here who sponsor Minnesota Bound and some of our other TV shows, and we had a good day. I don't have the count of the pheasants, but I do know this. I'm going to admit this right out. There was one ringneck that was spotted on the edge of the cornfield.
Uh-huh.
He was just standing there.
Yep.
I mean, they have some pen-raised birds. They put them out, you know. I think it was a pen-raised bird. I don't know. Who knows? And I let my lab out. That's not Raven, but it's my daughter Simone's yellow lab, Ryder. His name is a great hunting dog. I let him out. I grabbed my shotgun, and the wind's howling. And I thought Ryder was going to catch that bird, and the bird saw Ryder, and Ryder saw the bird. And the bird went up in the air, and I cracked two off, and that bird is, somebody else can get him down the road.
Are you saying it was flying pretty quick on you?
Well, yes. Whatever excuse you can come up with, I'll take, because, yeah.
The important thing is you shot your gun.
Maxie, you know what the worst part of that was? About 20 guys were watching.
Oh, because it was one of those solo things. Everybody knew where the bird was, and they knew where you were.
No, we were driving, and everybody had to stop because we stopped.
Yep.
And I got out. I got out, took my gun out, got the.
Oh, I see. So they're all parked watching. Okay, let's watch Ron get this bird.
We've
heard
so
much about him. We know he's a legend. Let's let the pro show us how this is done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the bird, I thought Ryder was going to catch that bird, but he didn't. And the bird got up and flew away, and I cracked two off of at him, and he's still flying.
Well, what did you tell him? You had to have some kind of an excuse.
Well, I said, you've just seen a miracle.
You shot a pheasant dead, and it kept flying, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just been a miracle. So, yeah. No. But you know what? So the guys have been giving me a lot in the last hour. And but you know what? Anybody who's never missed a pheasant, please stand up, because nobody's going to stand up. You once in a while it happens. It just does. And what was amazing is an hour before that, I was busting clay pigeons left and right in this wind. I was cracked right on.
We call you a good practice player, not a good game player. That's what that means.
I know.
Yeah.
And so suddenly this rooster gets up, and I can't hit crap. So
yeah. That's all right, Ron. We just wanted to let you know that we're with you. We will continue to listen to your reports. And remember those pen-raised birds. Boy, I can't believe you had to go. Hey, if you want, I can get you pen-raised birds around here.
You know,
yeah, I'll let you go. You got another story to tell. We're up against the break. Ron Sherritt with a report from South Dakota, where today, again, October 23rd, you already marked it down once. Put another note by that. October 23rd, 2019, Ron Sherritt missed not once but twice a single rooster. And if you've ever hunted, you know, if it's standing at the end of the corn and you got a dog, that's a pretty easy shot. Generally speaking, that's a pretty easy shot. The bird gets up and he's going to give you that stuff while he was going with the wind and the wind was blowing all that stuff. You know, it's a straightaway shot still. So I'm trying to picture this, what the problem would have been. And I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, Ron was at least man enough this year to come on and tell us about it before it actually was probably ran on TV, which will probably happen in the next couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? He's a man for all seasons, though. And like I said, who else? I forwarded him all kinds of stuff that he could, you know, read from my work, videotapes of me, and some of the stories I've done, radio interviews that I've done, podcasts, and I thought that might help kind of bring him up to speed and help him with his own game. But so far, he hasn't downloaded any of the stuff that I've sent, so I can't figure that out. I don't know why he would do that to me. Huh. Anyway, it's the Vikings and the Washington Redskins on Thursday. And one of the interesting people that plays for the Minnesota Vikings is a guy named Amir Abdullah. He came over from the Detroit Lions, and he's a third back, but he's kind of one of these well-thought-out guys, one of these guys that say he went to the University of Nebraska. He's been around the block, kind of got some things figured out. And so today when I was at the Minnesota Vikings, I sat down with him in his locker, and I said, Amir, can we talk a little bit about how this season's going? He said, sure. Here now the interview. Amir, you've seen a lot in the last few years, running the football, catching the football as a return man. Is it fun to do a lot of different things, or is it easier to lock in on one?
I enjoy doing a lot of things. Just got to be ready for whatever you're asked to do. You know, that's the kind of person I pride myself on.
When you look at this team this year, and you've got depth at running back, and you're in that room with Madison and Cook, what's that like? You guys have had a pretty productive season so far.
Yeah, it's great. You know, every year presents a different challenge. You learn a lot. Appreciative of the guys that I'm surrounded by right now because they're helping me elevate my game. Anytime you can surround yourself with people who are very talented, such as, you know, Alex Boone and Cook, every day you got to bring your A game, and I'm in a point in my career where I just want to get better.
When you get to the league, what's the biggest surprise when you play running back? Is it speed of game? Is it reading, figuring out pass blocking? Is there one thing?
No, I don't think it's too many surprises. I just think it's about finding your own way, finding your own routines, and staying sound to what got you there.
You know, you also had an interesting offseason because you traveled and you learned a lot about your past, really, and a lot of things education-wise that you've been able to share with the youth, et cetera. What was that like for you in terms of, you know, just transforming the way you think, or at least, you know, coming to terms with things that maybe you weren't aware of?
Like I said prior, I really challenge myself to learn in any situation I'm in, no matter if it's from children, people who are older than me. Just humbling yourself to learn something new is always important for me. So this offseason was eye-opening. Hopefully I can now continue to grow in that area personally and spiritually.
Because getting an education isn't just about the books you read. It's about living life, right?
Much different, you know, much deeper than just curriculum that we get every day in school. Education's, you know, talking to me and you know, yep. Learning from the experiences that we share as people.
How true. Now, you know what one of our biggest issues is in society, and I mean this wholeheartedly, and I have no idea how you'd reconstruct it or how you would find a way to advocate for what the cause would be. But when we think education, when we think of somebody that's well-educated, we immediately go to the academic side of things, and we back it up with a resume that includes a master's degree, a PhD, a something. When we say well-educated, when we say somebody's had a great education, we immediately go to the books, and therefore we can verify it. We can feel, you know, okay, this justifies it. There's a reason that I give them a title of being well-educated. And here's why. They got their, you know, graduated with a 4.0, got their master's degree here, got a PhD. That stuff's all great and fine. But we need to redefine education because there's so many well-educated people that didn't get their master's degree, that didn't get their PhD, that maybe didn't graduate from college, but they put themselves out there and they lived life. And they put themselves in a number of different situations where the only thing that you could do was learn. It was fight or flight. And, you know, and they investigated who they were and their background. And they did all these. And every day, life was an adventure to them. And in that process, they became incredibly well-educated. but they don't even feel it. They got to walk around, a lot of them, for a lot of their lives, and I met a lot of people like this, and it was an inferiority complex because they didn't get their master's or graduate from college. They're around people that use big words, and that has so little to do. It's such a small part of your education, what you learn in a classroom and from the books, and there's such a much bigger part that has nothing to do with the academia world. It has to do with you living life and being in situations and developing people skills, but you don't get credit for those. You're not called well-educated. If you went and you checked on, you know, for Amir Abdullah, he went back to figure out what the civil rights movement was all about and how it might have impacted the people that came before him and his family. I mean, that's an education. Anytime you go to Washington, D.C., we were talking about earlier with Ryan Hogue, it's an education. You walk through those monuments, you walk through where Abraham Lincoln was shot, that's getting educated. But so, too, is going duck hunting. You know, Ron Sheriff's out there hunting pheasants in South Dakota with a bunch of guys with different backgrounds, and they're sitting around the table, and they're talking, they're learning about each other. Those people are getting educated. And a lot of you people out there are selling yourselves short because you don't realize how well-educated you are. You don't realize what a phenomenal education you've had in life because you don't have a certificate to back it up, because you don't have a diploma that tells the world that you're well-educated. And I don't know how we get out of to me, it's a conundrum, because we've all met people and academically they're smart and they got no street smarts and they got no people skills. And you go, OK, you can have that, but I'm going to kick your ass today because I got people skills or I got street smarts or I'm going to go outwork you. But you got a big diploma there on your road. You got whatever it is that tells the world that you're smart, that you believe justifies it. There's nothing wrong with getting a PhD, man. I want my doctor, if he's going to go and do surgery on me, I hope he's got a PhD. I hope he did well in school. I hope he's got everything going for him that way. I get all that stuff. But getting educated, there's a difference between being well-educated and having a degree. There's a difference between that. Being well-educated means you just get up every day with blood in your mouth and you say, I'm going to learn more. I'm going to find out more. I'm going to learn more about myself. I'm going to learn more about the world that I live in. All these things that you do, and you can do them in cement. You can do it on a bike ride. You can do it hunting. You can do it by reading. You can do it 98 different ways. You can sit in a restaurant and observe people and get educated. You can go to another city and you can just watch the people and how they interact and check the different cultures out, and you become much better educated. But we don't give you credit for that, because we only give you credit if you can show us something, if you can say, well, I passed this course. And I say this because it's long bothered me, because I see a lot of people, and I got, you know, I'm an undergrad guy, right? I got my 4-year college degree. That's as far as I went, and that's fine. And I'm not envious of people that get their master's and their PhD. I say that's fine, but I see a lot of people that you know, just went to high school, whatever, and they don't realize how well educated they are. They don't realize how in touch they are and how much smarter they are than a lot of the other people that did much more academically. That's what I'm saying. So never quit educating yourself, but give yourself credit for educating yourself every day. Give yourself credit if you're a gamer and you're out there trying to figure it out. You look at every day as a challenge. You say, by the end of the day, I want to be better than I was at the beginning of the day. That's somebody that's incredibly well-educated. That's somebody that gets it. That's somebody that's going to do great things because they're going to keep on trying to figure it out. So don't sell yourself short. And you might want to redefine education. The best example of that when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.